From forgotten political rallies of early last century to personal struggles and victories, the continued presence of Aboriginal people in the Hunter region is a story of survival and community. The Hunter, of course, centres around Newcastle. Over the past few years, Norama Productions have been collecting some of the stories, and now they'll be presented in We Are Lichen, One Who Speaks. Ray Kelly Jr. is one of two actors who will present the stories, and he spoke to Rudy Bremer about who has the right and the responsibility to speak.
We really wanted to capture these stories of the elders that we know have, they have led the way. They have opened the doors for the rest of us to walk through. So we are like in itself is the one who speaks. Traditionally, in communities, within smaller groups, everyone seemed to have a role to play. So we may have had a song man who was the one who would continue and teach the songs. We might have had a didge player in different communities. And for ceremonies, it was their role to play the didgeridoos. You had your canoe makers, your weapon makers. But we also had the ones who would speak. And they were the ones who had the authority over the community, and their voice had to be heard every time that they spoke. So we're looking at We Are Lichen now, and a big thing for our communities, and it's not just here in Newcastle, but across the New South Wales and also the greater nation of Australia, is that we have a lot of people speaking about Indigenous affairs and Indigenous communities. And a lot of these people probably ain't in a position to be speaking as the authority that they think they are. So what this play does, it actually sort of brings it back to the importance of the ones who speak and who are actually listened to and have the correct information and the right to actually speak for communities and on behalf of our people. So it's just really about, yep, there are important people who speak and they have the right correct information, and then the role of the rest of us is to be able to use our ears and to listen to them stories. My name is Ray Kelly. I'm a local Aboriginal man from the Newcastle Awabakal community, and the importance of the stories that we are telling are a strong reflection of the Aboriginal movement, participation and involvement of the Newcastle area since, I guess, a little bit prior to early European settlement, but also through them early years of the building of Newcastle. So what we've actually done over the last 4 or 5 years is Narramar Productions have been working closely with elders within the community, and they've been going out and they've been documenting stories, both audio and visual, and just trying to, build a bit of an archive of all the memories that our elders have within the community. Unfortunately, over my generation, I've seen a lot of our elders go. And it's a big thing that we've always spoken about, is that we need to capture these stories and these memories before we lose our very prominent elders. So Narramar have been working closely documenting these stories. And this piece that we will be performing next week, it's a collection of all those different stories about the big key moments here in Newcastle.
So Ray, how many stories are we talking about?
It's a bit hard to actually work out exactly how many stories, because a lot of them there's a lot of similarities, so a story may jump. But off the top of my head, there's probably recordings from about 20 Aboriginal elders, the elders that are in that older age group. But then there's also a lot of people in their mid to late 40s and early 50s, and they still have some great memories that they reflect on. But probably looking at about 20 different audio recordings, and which is broken down into about 8 or 9 different plot lines or stories throughout the play. We look around the whole of Australia, and in them early settlement times, in that early movement and establishing of what we know Australia to be now, Newcastle was extremely lucky that we had some great ambassadors and champions for our people who were linguists, they were artists. And what they'd actually done here in Newcastle, we have such a treasure trove of all of this writing and all of this documentation of the early settlement, but also what our people were doing here within the community. So we had a bloke named Reverend Frelkeld, who was actually a linguist. He spent a good chunk of his time here in Newcastle actually working with the local Aboriginal people, the Awabakal people. he documented and he wrote the Wabikul Aboriginal language into the gospel. So he actually had a documentation of that. We had a lot of great records kept of the movement of our people. So a lot of people were moved out of Newcastle and they were pushed 20-30 k's out to Raymond Terrace, and then from there they were then pushed a little bit further to 100 k's from there. But there's always in Newcastle been a very strong collection of what Aboriginal people were doing. So there, now that we've been able to unearth all of that and we've been able to find links to all these stories through the residual memory of the local elders that have continued to share stories and on, now that we get to present that back to the wider community, you know, who understand that Newcastle has a very rich history of Aboriginal people, I think a lot of our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters are going to find some wonderful connections about the Aboriginal people here in Newcastle and how important our journey over the last, you know, 80 to 100 years has been, and why our contribution in 2018 is still very important for the wider community of our people.
There's an idea kind of at the heart of Wheel Lichen, where when people arrive, they're given a warm cup of soup, and then the conversation unfolds between yourself and Pamela. Is that kind of paring back a way of bringing people into the story?
Yeah, well, the space itself here at the lockup, it's, as I'm not sure if you're aware, but it is actually an old jail. So it is a very, it's a very small, intimate type of space, but at times it can also be very cold because it has the old sandstone feel about it, it has the metal bars, and it also has an open roof in different areas. So the idea was about, you know, providing a bit of warmth for the people. We're hoping that it's not going to be too cold for our two evening shows next week, but it's about really trying to get people at ease. And the whole setup is very quite basic and simple. It's just Pamela and myself sitting around a lounge. So the setting is a lounge room. And because it's so small and personal, a lot of the people are actually kind of joined us on stage. So the whole thing is about trying to get people at ease, making them feel warm, cozy and within the space, but also just letting them know that they are a part of the show as well.
Does it invite the impulse to talk back though?
There are some tricky little parts in it where, so as we go through the play, so the opening line is, Pamela looks to me and she says, so who's your mob? So then we start this very basic conversation about, okay, we're starting to learn and meet who you are. So as we start to develop the basis of what the play is going to be, you can actually start to hear the voice recordings and the audio around the space. Once we do that, we then become, I guess, hearing actors. So we're responding to the voices like it's the first time that we've also heard it. So as an interaction with the audience, we sort of, they follow our reactions, and we also have the opportunity to follow their reactions. We are actually having the same soup on stage. So that's sort of like this bit of a interaction with the audience, and there's small little key parts where there are opportunities for us to interact, hopefully without losing control of the direction and the flow of the play. But yeah, it's all about making people aware of, you know, they are in the same space that the actors are in, and we are all hearing these stories at the same time together.
Ray, can you tell me a little bit about sort of the development of this production, starting with actually collecting these materials, these recordings and these stories?
Yeah, so a big thing for the Aboriginal community in here in Newcastle is that we have an organisation which is called the Wabikul Cooperative, also now known as the Wabikul Limited. And as of last year, we were celebrating 40 years of the establishment of the organisation. As I mentioned well before, is that we've lost a lot of our key leaders in this community. So this was about trying to document what's happened in the last 40 years of a Wabikul, and, you know, what were the key milestones that our community hit. So we spoke about the development of our own medical centres, our own preschools, and then branching into our own housing opportunities. So what we found was that a lot of people had great information around the 40s and that real strong political movement that was happening here in Newcastle. But we also started to unearth a lot of these other stories that were from a very early period. So the idea was just about trying to collect and gather those stories and then to package that in a way that we could sort of share it with the younger generation coming forward, but also pay homage to those that have, I guess, left us, but those have also walked the walk before us. It's been quite interesting too because, you know, we have a lot of elders who are getting to that age now where they may be getting a little bit forgetful and their memories may not be as sharp as they once were. So we also had this feel through the whole thing where people's memories were just a little bit different from someone else's. So trying to pinpoint all these pieces and put it back together like a jigsaw and work out exactly what happened and the time frame over the last 40 years, over the last 80 years, was a very interesting process. And for me, growing up, I was born in the 80s, so I was quite lucky that I got to spend time with a lot of these elders that were a part of that big political movement and that establishment of such a strong community organisation. So just to hear little stories that I didn't know, it really helped me to identify with the personalities and the characters of the community that I grew up around.
Ray Kelly Jr., one of the actors from We Are Lycan, One Who Speaks. You can see the show in Newcastle at The Lockup on the 26th and 27th of June, just a very short season. There are more details on our website, abc.net.au/rn. Just find A Way in the program menu.